Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our embarrassing stories, we tell your embarrassing stories, and you tell your embarrassing stories. We are here to laugh with you, cry with you, cringe with you, and of course, bring some levity to your day. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red.
How was your week?
Who can say it first?
You.
Well, what about this whole aliens thing? I mean, did you see this press conference that apparently there are aliens and they're living under the ocean? So they confirmed aliens like two years ago, but now they're saying that they are living in the ocean, not space.
Who's they?
The government. I don't know. They're releasing this information. It's very odd.
They're in the ocean?
They're in
What am I supposed to do when I'm boogie boarding? Thanks a lot. You ruined it.
Hopefully not. Like, what if you were boogie boarding and then a ship just rose up underneath you? Flying into the air.
I would honestly probably get a divorce because I would give that alien my number. I'd be like, hey.
You earn this alien. You know, I went on a date with a guy.
With an alien.
This is like, oh my God, a million years ago, like 2001, 2002. And he was going off all about how he thought that aliens were like time travelers. Like they were like future humans. And now at the time I was like, you're crazy. Now I'm like, this kind of makes sense. Like I can kind of wrap my head around that. And I saw a show on Netflix about aliens where they were talking about the same exact thing. Basically, they're just evolved humans in the future, but time is not linear. So they're using time travel to like come back and visit us. But that's why their fingers are so skinny because of us typing on our computers.
No.
And that's why their eyes are so big because we watch screens all
the
time.
I thought.
Yeah.
That's right. I've always thought that they were going to just be big hands, really bad eyesight.
What happened to fashion? That's what I want to know because why are they all naked?
Why are they green?
Why are they only wearing silver?
Because they don't go out in the, and they, probably their planet is destroyed.
They're living under the
ocean. That's why they're gray.
So, I guess,
is a press conference from the White House?
Yes.
Where'd you see it?
Not from the White House. It was like a government press conference. Oh God, it was everywhere. I saw it all over TikTok, but.
I gotta see that.
Yeah. They are releasing like classic, but they're not giving the proof. They're just saying like, they're confirming, yes, we have matter that is not human. We have pieces of ships that we are trying to like, it's basically also a race around the country. Apparently, every single country has these same types of materials,
that's
and they're trying
so
to copy it. And, you know, it's advanced technology, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my gosh. I have got to see this. Yeah. I've never, like, really been into aliens, but if they exist, hey.
Well, I definitely think they exist.
I want to talk to them.
Right? I mean, they have to exist. How could they
not? I mean, yeah, there's so many videos where people are like, what is that? And it's just like this like little tiny thing. And they zoom in. And it's like, oh, it doesn't look like anything else. It's a spaceship. Probably.
And there's only 5% explored of the ocean. And
they're living down there.
We've explored more of space than the ocean. Isn't that insane? So they're down there. What have you been thinking
Well,
about?
I watched the season finale of The Golden Bachelorette last night. I know. Don't tell me anything.
No spoilers.
I
have not started it still.
Well, what I will say is, I mean, I cried my eyes out and it's beautiful. But then they had, because it's a live audience, then they had their, like, the bachelor, who's like a young bachelor. And they're like, here's a sneak peek of his life. Of his show, and it's like chaos. It's like all the girls are like, oh my God, like, ah! They were crying their eyes out, and they're like, oh my God, like, I thought he was gonna pick me. And then he's like playing the piano, like, I wish I had a girl. And then there's like a girl next to him, she's like, oh my God, I'm having the best time of my life. And then it's like the next smash cut to her, like, sobbing her eyes out. And you're like, this was nothing like the Golden Bachelorette. Golden Bachelorette was so civilized and kind and like, so caring.
That's the age difference.
That's what I loved. Yeah, it's a life
maturity.
Experience.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, gotta watch it.
If you want to see something crazy, you gotta watch The Bachelor.
Oh,
it's gonna be nuts.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Listen up, America.
Let's get into some stories.
Let's do it. Do you want to go first?
I will go first. Okay.
Boop, boop.
Okay, this first story comes from Joyelle, and she writes, my husband and I went to the grocery store and we got separated at one point as I was trying to find something in an aisle. There was no one else in the aisle with me and I had to fart really bad. So I decided to let it rip.
Bring it on.
It was a bad one. It was toxic.
Oh, no.
Then I saw my husband coming down the aisle, so it was only fair that I warned him before he entered my stench.
Oh, God.
I whipped around and said, I farted. And locked eyes with my husband. But it wasn't my husband. It was another random young man. I was so shocked and embarrassed that all I could think to say was, sorry. And I ran away. He just stood there in my stink looking confused.
I love so much the stranger approaching a woman. She's like, turns around, her hair like whips around like the Little Mermaid. She's like, I farted.
And she fully thought it was her husband.
Did not expect it. It was so.
He's just rolling down the aisle. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get some quick instant oats.
Yes, he's getting his quick instant oats. And then he's like, I don't want any part of these oats. That is so funny. That's such a good one. That's such a good, like, hilarious surprise one.
Yeah. I know. I loved it.
Oh, God. Well, let's see. I'm going to tell one, too. I guess I'll tell you one. Okay, so this is from Sam in Alabama, and he writes, I ran into an old friend of mine from high school. I'd always had a crush on her, and she lived in my neighborhood in Alabama. So I asked if she'd want to meet up for some coffee and catch up. She said, sure. We instantly had chemistry, and the old feelings flew back in. Our banter was next level, and it just seemed like no time had passed. An hour in, we were laughing and teasing each other, and I just went for it. I reached across the table, grabbed her hand, and said, I'm so happy to see you. I mistook her silence to mean that she felt the same. So I babbled on and told her that I'd always had a crush on her, that Ooh. Dating was hard, and that maybe her and I could spend more time together and see where it goes. I emphasized we. I would have kissed her right then and there before she found her voice and said, whoa, Sam, I'm in a serious relationship. I've been dating a guy for 3 years.
Oh, that's so awkward.
So awkward.
Poor Sam.
I hadn't seen her in 10 and didn't look her up on social media. My dumb mistake was pure spontaneity, and I was mortified. The conversation got really awkward from then on. I apologized and told her I felt like a complete idiot, and we got the check pretty quickly as the conversation had stalled. We parted ways yet again, and luckily I haven't run into her ever since. Isn't that awkward?
That's so awkward.
I know. I'm always a fan of people who put their heart on their sleeves, but not in that situation.
Well, usually, too, if you want to feel out, you know, somebody that you have a crush on, one of the first things that you say is like, so what's going on in your life?
How's
are you
your
dating
boyfriend?
Anyone? Yeah. Like, are you dating anyone?
Yeah, and then, or how's your person?
Yeah, yeah, then she would be like, for 3 years.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just like, yeah, you know, my wife. Or, yeah, usually you just got to bring it right up.
Yeah. Or but, just say, you know, you could say something about your, you know, your life and
yeah.
what's going on with you. Like, yeah, I haven't really been dating anyone. Like, what about you? Like, how's it going? Like, that's
yeah.
a nice way to approach that.
Yeah.
Subject.
You don't just like jump into like, I've had a crush on you forever and I'm so glad Aww. To see you. This is like kismet. Like, let's.
I mean, I'm sure that's nice to hear, though. It's always nice to hear someone has a crush on you, right? Like, that's flattering.
I mean, it's nice. I don't know.
You're like, is this your story?
No. No. But that's happened to me before, where like an old friend told me that they had a crush on me. I was like, what?
You're like because, woof.
Like, yeah, that friend, like, yeah, that friend had been like seen me at my worst. You know what I mean? Aww. And they were like, oh, we've always had a crush on you. I was like, oh. Crap.
that wasn't yeah, my intention.
It was not good. But anyways,
it happens.
You go on.
Okay. I have another one for you. This next story comes from Alex, and she writes, when I was maybe like 12 or 13, I don't remember, we had just moved to a house in a neighborhood in Davenport, Iowa. I thought it would be nice to decorate our new home, so I hung something on our door for, I think, Thanksgiving late at night. I didn't tell my parents. I thought it would be a cute surprise for them to see.
Aww.
Isn't that adorable?
That is so sweet.
I was like, that's so cute. I love when Sebastian does little stuff like that. He'll just like put things around or do his own little decorating, and then I'll find it, and I think it's hilarious.
Aww,
like,
sweet.
So cute. Well, across the street, there was this old guy who'd smoke late at night and sit outside and watch the neighborhood. I guess I didn't fully shut the door when I came inside, and at some point during the night, it blew open, and he saw that. He then thought my house was being robbed and called the police.
Oh, no.
The Davenport police stormed in and
what?
Saw my dad in the kitchen at like 3 a.m., probably just trying to eat
Her
a late
dad?
Night snack.
No.
Dad. And yelled, Davenport police, put your hands up.
It's her dad.
It's her dad.
He's making like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
He's like having a late night snack and gets busted in on by the
no.
cops. My dad was so confused, and he had to prove that he lived there and assure them that he wasn't a robber and that there was, in fact, no robber. I, of course, slept through the entire ordeal.
What?
I never knew about it until he told all of our church friends. I was so embarrassed that I accidentally caused my dad to almost get arrested. He still tells that story to his students in his apprenticeship classes to this day.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Can you imagine? That's one of my favorite. That's one of my scariest, like, nightmare scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
One, that your house catches on fire, you run outside, you're naked.
Oh, thanks for giving me a new thing.
Well, you were just like in the shower. You're like, oh my God, the house is on fire, smell smoke. And you just run blindly out the door. And
that's
you're just
earthquake.
Naked. And then you
for
get
me,
locked
that you're
out
in the shower or like on the toilet,
oh,
like during
totally.
An earthquake.
Anything
like,
about, yeah. Natural disasters. But then that too, just someone busting in your house.
Yeah, you're just in your house in the middle of the night. Yeah, he's probably in his boxers. He's like
boxers.
Having a sound.
Yeah, that's so crazy. That's a great story.
Out of nowhere.
I know.
Because those neighbors, I mean, it would have been helpful if their house was getting robbed, but it wasn't.
My guest today is a writer, actor, and producer, Nicholas Scutt, who produces and writes for the show Outer Banks. He's
I love that show.
He's a co-creator of it.
I love that
and
show.
And he also produced and wrote the movie Chronically Metropolitan and most recently Who Invited Charlie. He's hilarious. I've known him since college and I cannot wait to hear his story.
Yay.
Here we go. Let's call him up.
Hello?
Nick! It's Mary-Kate and Katie.
Hello.
From the Beat Red Podcast.
Oh my God, it's amazing. How is everybody? Hello.
We're so excited to talk to you today. Thank you for making the time
for us. Thank you. I'm so excited that you're on.
No problem. I'm such a fan of the show. I'm so glad I get to now, you know, humiliate myself.
No,
on it, so.
No, I was.
Aww,
no, you are.
You.
Yeah, we are all. We've all humiliated ourselves, and that's why we're doing this, because it's, you know, let's just let it out, let it all out.
That's hilarious.
Oh my gosh! Well, thank you so much. We're so excited to hear your story. So whenever you want, you just dive right into the deep end.
So is that how this goes? Those are the rules? I just launch right into the story?
You just launch right in. I mean, you can you know, get yourself ready and like, pump, you know, pep yourself and like, you know, give yourself the courage. But you can also just jump right in and tell us.
Well, no, because like I have a story and I'm very excited to share it. I just was like wondering if I was going to, if there was like criminal charges that go along with this story.
No.
Because it's an event. I mean, don't worry. No one.
You
got
to just tell us. You got to.
Now I'm scared. Where's it going?
If it gets crazy and like, you know, the police come, we do have.
This is a very straight. I'm going to jump right into it. It's a very straightforward Beat Red. fits right into the.
It's on brand. Thank you.
Of the show. So this happened, and look, I mean, if the authorities come after me for this, that's okay.
I did say your full name as your intro. Do you want me to change it?
Hopefully there's a statute of limitations. How long ago was this?
This happened early on in my life in Los Angeles. I mean, not like really early on, but like relatively not long after I moved there. And I was like, I got my first job. I have to give context to this story so people understand what happened.
Yes.
So I got my first professional job as a writer, and I had to go and meet this like up and coming like fancy director who was going to do it.
Nice.
And it was one of your first serious gigs. So I had to take it really seriously. But I was super nervous, so I took it really seriously by like going out the night before, getting totally smashed, going up like 45 minutes early at this guy's apartment complex to meet him for this meeting. And I remember being really like, God, I'm 45 minutes early. Like, this is so desperate, and what am I doing? And I can't, you know, ring his doorbell because I don't want to appear to them 45 minutes early. So I'm just going to drink a giant iced coffee on an empty, like, booze-riddled stomach.
Oh, my God, that's not good. And, like, the caffeine!
And, like, smoke, like, 3 or 4 cigarettes. And I had quit smoking by this point in my life. But I had a flashback to my college years. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to, like, rip, like, you know, 4 lung darts. Like, I'm just going to, like, rip 4 lung darts in rapid succession because it's going to calm my nerves. And so I do this. I keep checking the watch, and I'm like, okay, 45 minutes, 20 minutes. I say, house the coffee. And then all of a sudden, like, my stomach takes, like, a violent turn.
No. Are you, like, I picture you, like, sitting on a stoop, like, right outside his door. Are you, like, a little bit further away?
I'm right outside.
Is the ring light, like, picking up this image? The ring light, I mean, the ring doorbell.
Were there ring lights back then? How far?
It was a very sunny day. It was a very sunny day. It was one of those like weird apartment buildings. It's like not quite in the hills, but in the hills, like on
stilts. Is it on stilts?
Not stilts. No stilts. No stilts. But I've never, my stomach never felt worse in my life.
Oh no!
All of a sudden, and I was like nowhere near a restroom. And this is also like, keep in mind, like this is my early years. This is my early years in Hollywood, so I didn't have a car at this point in my life.
Okay, I love that. How did you get up there?
So I wasn't driving anywhere. I was like making my way around LA via bike and bus. If I was going to make it in Hollywood, I'm going to have to do it without a car.
You're a New Yorker through and through. I didn't put that part in. Yeah, you're from New York. You never really needed a car, so I get it.
Right, and I definitely wasn't going to get one when I said, hey, Mom, Dad, I'm going to Hollywood to try to be a writer and an actor, and can I get a car? And they were like, God bless you, son. Good luck.
He has an unlimited bus pass.
Some money for a dirt bike. So I couldn't really like get to a bathroom because I was like at the edge of the hills. And I'm like, fuck, man. I also like, this is a fancy director. I can't go number two in his bathroom.
No, you cannot.
Into his apartment because that's really like, I don't know. That just felt really unprofessional. So I didn't know what to do. So I'm pacing and I'm like, God, I'm like, maybe if I just meditate and will myself to not having to go to the bathroom.
That's a common tactic on this show.
I will survive through this. I will get through this and we'll all be fine. And like, I'm like, and I look at the watch and I've got, at this point now, it's about 10 minutes before the meeting.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, okay. And again, listeners, lovely hostesses, hosts of the show here, I can't stress enough how brutal pain, like the pains that were happening.
Oh no.
I mean, I was like doubled over. I literally was like, I didn't know what to do. So finally, like, I'm like, okay, I got a buzz. So I buzz to go in. So go into his building. And I'm like, I also I'm claustrophobic that I don't trust elevators in LA. Mm. So I'm like, I can't take the elevator. I'm just going to walk up to the third floor.
Oh, no.
Because that's, you know, I'm okay. And by the time I get there, I'll be so ready to talk creative that I will forget that I have to take like a giant shit. So I'm walking up the stairs. I walk up the stairs on the second floor. I'm like, I'm not going to make it. I don't know what to do. And then I'm like confused and I have to run down this hall to get to the other side.
Oh,
I'm running
God.
Down the hall. I'm like halfway down the hall. I'm not going to make it. So I have no choice. But halfway down the hall, I pull off my pants.
What? You pooped in the hallway.
I projectile diarrhea all over, like right by a door, but not in front of a door. Like
my God.
Apartment door.
That is a new term, and projectile diarrhea. Never heard it before.
Is that the director's floor?
All over the place.
Yeah, are you close to the director's door?
On the third floor.
Okay.
Oh, thank God you weren't on his floor. That was my question.
No, not on his floor. I was not on his floor. I was the floor right below.
Perfect.
And but it was like criminal. This is a criminal base.
Someone is going to slip in that. Wait, was there carpet? Was it carpet? Was there hardwood floor?
Yeah, it was a classic. It was a classic.
Like the Shining hallway.
Like Hollywood apartment. Yeah, like a carpeted rug down the floor. White stucco wall.
Gonna be hard.
Were there cameras?
Yeah, were
there
cameras?
Well, that's where this embarrassing Beat Red story takes another. It goes up another level only in terms of the anxiety, because I just like projectile diarrhea. I just shit everywhere. Okay, I just shit all over the second floor of this apartment.
It's fantastic.
Like, with no mercy.
No mercy.
And then was so embarrassed and sweaty, I pulled up my pants and walked up to this guy's apartment, rang the doorbell, was like, hey.
Did you run up here?
Can I use your bathroom really quick? I mean, I gotta piss really quick. He's like, sure. Thank God, because I was literally, I'm like, I had had was in immediate need of toilet paper.
Yeah, you had poop all over.
Oh my God.
And then, well, I did, it was, again, thank God, it was project, remember, let's stress to listeners, it was projectile diarrhea, so it just shot right out.
Oh, so maybe you were actually cleaner than you thought.
Did you turn around and even look at it?
Yeah, did you even see what you had done? Did you see the pile? Acknowledge?
Did you look at it, or did you just run?
Yeah, I did. It looked like a murder scene. It looked like a murder scene. Except it wasn't red. It was, you know.
It was gold. Okay, so you're in this guy. You go to this guy's bathroom. What happened? What happened?
I clean myself up, and then I spend the next 2 hours. I've never been more terrified.
Because for two straight hours,
every creak, every footstep that I heard outside of his door, I was like, any minute now, the federales are going to come flying through that door.
I love, or just like his girlfriend who lives down in that apartment that you pooped right in front of. It's going to be like,
no, and arrest me and just arrest me. And like, or like, no, and I was terrified of cameras. And so I spent 2 hours. I couldn't even tell you what we talked about because I was so embarrassed and so upset. And so mad at myself.
Aww.
and also so horrified for the poor souls that were either going to emerge from their apartment
or the kids
or come
like
home
a little
from a
kid
long
in a tricycle.
Like, what happened here?
They probably thought it was a dog. Like that's
they
what I would think.
Thought
they probably thought
it was
a dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, or
well, then that dog would have been like a Great Dane or like a werewolf, a Saint Bernard.
So wait,
you know, they're like, okay. Wait, does somebody in this apartment building own an elephant? What's going on here? Like, there was nothing human about the situation. I mean, there's nothing animal about the situation.
Hilarious.
So you're sitting there. Did anyone get away? Like, were you able to like get back to the bus stop?
I got away. This is why I was talking about the statute of limitations. I got away with it.
Okay.
Like a week or so later, I had to go back to the house. And every time I went back to this guy's apartment to talk this project, it was terrifying because I'm like, they're gonna get me today. But the second time I went back,
shit is still there.
I was just walking up the stairs and I was like, I gotta do it. I gotta check out.
No, you didn't. Floor.
You have to. That's what I was gonna say too. You have to. 1000%. I would go
You're
check it out.
Serial pooper.
He's a smooth criminal.
He's a smooth move criminal.
I had to go back. I had to go check the crime.
So what was it? Their new carpet.
Yeah, they had just ripped up the entire part of the carpet.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
And they had completely repainted the stucco as well. It was like a really cocaine white color. So bright white.
Wow.
It was
stained
like
through.
Giant circular paint job in the middle of the hall.
That paint was like,
nothing ever happened. Everyone forgot about it.
That's so funny.
You got away with it. I feel like this is like a Coen Brothers movie. Like, did you go home and frantically write this story down? And like, you're like, okay, this is, I don't know, my masterpiece.
I actually hadn't thought of the story, Mary Kate, until you texted me like, and said, hey, do you want to be a guest on Be Red? And I was like, yeah, I do actually.
And then
I started thinking about stories, and I was like, oh yeah, why don't I just turn this podcast into a confessional?
Amazing.
That's what this is. Honestly, you are not alone. Do you know how many people have projectile diarrhea all over this city and all over this world?
But can we go back to the fact that you got the job?
You went
in there sweaty. You went in there like stressed out of your mind. You don't even know what you said. You got the job.
He's that good.
You got
He's
the
that
job.
Good.
Like, that's incredible. You projectile diarrheaed and got a job.
Yes.
You probably looked like a crackhead, sweaty, like you've just like committed a crime. You smoked all these cigarettes. Your eyes are bugging out of your head. He's like, this guy's clearly on cocaine, but he's incredible. So I'm going with it.
What you haven't told us is like the director you were meeting with is like Quentin Tarantino. And he's like, get in here, man. You look great. You fit right in, dude.
Because he and I went on to like be like great friends, and I don't ever, and who knows? And he lived in that building for maybe another 2 years or so, and then he moved. And I don't know if we would have become friends if I had gone upstairs and said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry to report a murder on the you floor would never below.
Have done, he would have not, you would have never, ever probably seen each other
Did
again.
You ever tell him?
No, never.
Oh my God,
never.
He can find never. Out from this, which
he
is the best.
Find out.
He might. Listen, he might. And that's okay if he does.
It's but, hilarious. It's so funny and so relatable. Like, we've all been in a compromising situation where you don't know what to do and you're freaking out.
Yes.
Especially before, like, a big meeting. Like, we can all relate to that, even if we haven't projectile diarrhea in a hallway. It's so good.
We've definitely projectile.
Well, when you put it that way, I feel so much better.
You know what? This is a great confessional. Story. It's such a good story. You nailed it. I can't. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Huge fan of this pod.
Oh,
so,
we're
it's
huge.
A real,
we're
it's a real, it's such an honor to come on. It's
I love Outer Banks, by the way. I tell everyone that's my guiltiest pleasure. I'm obsessed with that show. It's so good. I love it. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. No spoilers, but I don't know if you've seen all. Of
I've seen it.
Four.
I've binged it.
But I can tell you, I've got like a posse of the angriest 13. And 12-year-old girl.
I bet you
around.
Do. I bet you,
you
do.
You killed someone.
Very hey, unhappy.
No spoilers.
Unhappy.
No spoilers.
That's why I'm calling in from Mexico. I had to leave the country. Yeah. I'm relaying this story from Oaxaca.
Well,
so,
I love it.
If they're right behind you, Nick, you just drop trow and projectile diarrhea. You got this, buddy. You got it.
Yeah, I know. Listen, yeah. You know, look, I've got great aim. That's all.
It's a hidden talent.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God.
So good.
Thank you so much, Nick. This is awesome.
Thanks
so much for coming on.
Thank
you.
Good
luck with it.
Bye.
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 That was incredible.
Oh my God. Can you believe?
Such a good story.
Such a good story.
And I love that he never told him, that he never found out. Like, and he's probably never told anyone.
And
he took this to his, he was like, this is a take it to my grave. And I'm telling you, this show does make people realize like why. Like, and
yes.
It is so freeing. Once you tell the story, all that shame that you held for so long, you're
right.
Like, who cares?
Right.
Like, it's not a big deal. Why did I think it was the biggest deal ever?
It's
you know?
Almost as if though he was like sitting on a grave. You know what I mean? He's up there like telling, like trying to get this job, but it's like a Black Mirror episode. Or like an Edgar Allan Poe, like
yeah,
poem. Like he's
so
just like
good.
this poop could have started like
poop.
Ticking so loud.
It was a telltale poop.
It's just, instead of ticking, it's just like fart sounds.
That needs to be, somebody needs to like do the, like, a cartoon of that.
Yes.
That would be hilarious.
If you guys write us a good review, we're going to do that movie. We're going to make it ourselves.
We're going to make
and we're
a claymation.
We're
going
to say thank you to you.
I love it so much. Okay, right. I've got another one. Okay.
Yes.
This next story comes from Christina in Bakersfield, and she writes, I went to Insomniac's Countdown in San Bernardino for New Year's Eve last year. We arrived on the 30th for night one. I partied all night with a few people I didn't know super well, and I didn't have that much to eat. The vibes were really weird and off, so I didn't want to drink a ton or do drugs with them. And to clarify, Insomniac's Countdown, it's like a raver convention thing.
Oh,
Our reporter over here is nodding. He's like,
right.
Yes, he knows about it. Okay,
there,
so it's like a
that.
Rave. It's a rave thing. Electro festival situation, rave.
Can
you can talk, yeah.
Yeah, basically that. My brother goes a lot. I don't do that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
All right.
So it's for ravers. All right. So just to clarify. Okay. The next day we all met up around 3 p.m. We're all partying and dancing and having a good time. And on the second day, it's starting to get late and we see a food court area. None of us had really eaten much in the last 2 days. So we stopped to get some chicken nuggets and soda. Like, yum. Sounds amazing.
Yum. It does sound good.
We continued to dance and celebrate New Year's Eve. And the rave ended around 2 a.m. I'd driven separately from the people I met up with. And by the time I got back to my car, it was around 3 a.m. It was a mass exodus of everyone from the event at this point, and we were all in our cars leaving the parking lot. The parking lot was really well lit. I was alone in my car, but I was surrounded by other people from the event, and we could all see each other because we weren't moving quickly. Everyone is still in their rave gear, which looks really funny out of the setting, and everyone is pretty tired at this point. I could just picture that. You know, when you like leave somewhere like Disney or like any like kind of, you know, big event, it's the end of the night,
oh,
you're
yeah.
exhausted, your
ears
in your
are
car.
Ringing.
But there, or like Halloween, when everyone's in their Halloween costumes, I love seeing that in cars too. I think it's so
oh,
funny,
yeah,
like on
totally.
Halloween night when everyone's driving around. So like they're leaving the rave and they're all probably wearing like bunny ears and like crazy little
yes.
outfits and like
yes.
skimpy stuff and glitter and like, you know,
yes.
hilarious picturing that with everybody in the cars. The car next to me was full of people and going the same speed, and we weren't trying to stare at each other, but we locked eyes because our cars were right next to each other. Have you ever done that? I've definitely done that before, where you're just like driving and you look
oh, yeah.
over and someone looks over at you. It's like the most awkward
yeah, you're
feeling.
Like, yeah.
you're just
yeah.
like staring at a stranger. Suddenly, out of nowhere, I projectile vomited all over my steering wheel and dashboard. So they literally lock eyes with a stranger and then projectile vomit while the stranger is staring at them.
That is totally happened to me, but go on. That's
Stop
when
it.
When I was pregnant, that's what I did all over town.
Oh my God.
But it is, and because that stranger can't unsee that.
They can't unsee it.
And they're also like,
have you locked eyes and vomited?
Yeah. I smiled and vomited. I literally was like giving him like a little sweet nod, and then I just like projectile vomited like all over the place. That's and then I drove away. I didn't even address it. What did they do? Like what?
Let's see if they're like you. God. Okay. This was not a cute little puke.
Oh no.
This was exorcist level vomiting. What was in my stomach did not match what was coming out. It was on my pants, the chair, the vents, everywhere.
I love this.
I could just feel the car full of people out of my peripheral view just staring at me in horror. I was so embarrassed.
Oh my God, that's so bad.
There was nowhere to go. I refused to turn my head and look back at them. My favorite blazer was in the passenger seat, and I ruined it trying to clean up the vomit. I tried to cover it up quickly. I could just feel them watching me and keeping up the pace with my car.
Oh, my God.
It's 3 a.m. in San Bernardino. It's a sketchy area. I wasn't getting out of my car. I had to drive all the way home covered in my own puke.
Here, she's covered in her own puke.
It was the worst car ride ever.
Honestly, my favorite part of the story is that she barfed everywhere. And then, yes, it's so funny that people are just like wide-eyed. Their eyeballs are just stuck, glued to this girl. But then she has to like settle back in and like keep her blinders on. And then she's covered in puke, but she's not like going to look or address it. She's just going to try to get out of there.
I would do the same thing. I'm not turning 100%. Back to look at them because you know they were all dying, laughing, hitting each other. Like, oh my God, did you see this? Just see that girl vomit everywhere?
Yes.
They're trying to keep up with her and they're staring at her while she's like trying to clean
her
dashboard.
I would try to pretend like I was like a robot, like driving the car, like self driving robot.
This is a simulation. This is not real.
They'll be like, this is, yeah.
They're
seriously.
Like, we just saw you dancing at the rave. Like, we know you're a real person.
You're wearing bunny ears. Stop covering a puke. Okay.
It's so funny.
That is so good.
But just that like feeling of like you've locked eyes with a stranger and then they see you vomit and they're watching you like in this like horrific situation and you're just like, do, 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 do. And you're stuck in traffic with everyone else. You can't go anywhere. You can't flee the scene. You're stuck there slowly exiting like a huge parking lot that's brightly lit and everyone's just staring at you. It's like spotlight.
And not to trigger this person, but like I see you. Every time that I have ever done something super embarrassing, I do the same thing. I just do not look up. I do not acknowledge anyone who just witnessed it. I just like just pretend like I'm alone.
If you can't see it, it didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's so good.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
I have another one.
Yay.
This is my friend Melissa. She's so funny.
Amazing.
She gave us the best story about the wieners are ready. If you remember that one, where the wieners are ready. We won't tell it if you haven't seen it yet.
Right.
It's the title episode is the wieners are ready. Are the wieners ready? It's so funny. She's hilarious.
So good.
She has another one for us. Let's talk to her.
Yay.
Hello.
Melissa.
Hello.
You're on with Katie and Mary Kate of the Beat Red Podcast. Hi,
Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
I am amazing.
Hi.
I just reminded everyone that you gave us the Are the Wieners Ready story. That is the best story of my entire life.
So good. We love that one.
Yeah, I feel like I have so many stories.
We'll take them all.
Something, I don't know.
Please tell all of them.
Love it.
Well, my life is for you guys, your enjoyment.
We appreciate it. Everyone appreciates it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, anyway, I was telling Katie, oh my gosh. So recently, just like a few months ago, I'm a realtor. Katie knows this in LA. And
she's amazing.
And,
if you need a house, hit her up.
Yes.
Thank you. With Christie's Real Estate. Anywho, so, you know, I deal with so many different kinds of people. I have so many different kinds of clients, and it's all about just managing their expectations and their emotions. And this one client that I had, she was a referral from a friend, which, you know, I treat everyone equally, but it was really close to my heart because it was a dear friend of mine, and I really wanted to take good care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, she purchases her place. I sell her place. She purchases her place. And then a few months later, she calls me because she had some neighbors move in that she wasn't happy with. And somehow I should have been aware that people were going to move in 4 months later that she didn't like. I don't know.
God, oh, no. The way people put their issues on other people is so crazy to me. It's bizarre. Yeah. You know?
It is.
Like, you know, what do you have anything to do with that? Like, it's so...
Nothing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
But my experience of it, it's like something emotional is happening and you're trying to find someone to blame. And
right.
So that's... Right. So I wanted to get on the phone with her and just really hear her out and be like, well, maybe there's some ways she can, like, you know, I run into everything. Maybe
you're
some
so
ways
sweet, by the way, can... like so sweet. I'd be
well,
like, bitch, what? You're so nice.
Well,
you're so sweet.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are those clients who are like, excuse you. But I always try and come from like an understanding of like, it can be really emotional. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to jump on a call with her. And let's just chat this out. Like, I want to see where she's coming from and hopefully I can help ease some of the stress. And so we're having this conversation and she's like airing her grievances and it's actually not as bad as I thought, but it gets to a point where she starts talking about the neighbor and it gets really intense and how she's really emotional about it, how it's scaring her. And then I'm listening and I go to like prepare this huge, long, comforting thing. Mm-hmm. And I had just taken a sip of my water before and I'm not joking. I took in this huge breath and you could hear it sounded like something stuck in the back of my throat and her on the other line, she goes, oh my God. And I start heaving because I'm choking on this water. And it sounds like, I can't explain to you. It sounds like Godzilla mixed with chihuahuas, like dry like, heaving, and it lasted. And I have asthma, so then I started wheezing.
Oh no!
And it was so embarrassing.
She's like, did you puncture a lung?
Long, emotional, in depth, really connecting story about the neighbors, and I just like threw up in her face.
Oh my God!
You taught her the lesson of just like, I don't want to be responsible for that to be the last thing that my friend hears. Like my big complaint.
So what happens? Like that's the worst when you swallow something down the wrong pipe. That's always embarrassing too. I've done that so many times when you're around other people and you swallow something down the wrong pipe and then you either like spit up water or whatever you're drinking or you're just like coughing uncontrollably for minutes. That's one of my most embarrassing things, even on a plane if you have to cough or like sneezing, like anything.
Or trying to talk to someone, give advice or whatever and then you're just like coughing and
you're
coughing.
At a beautiful lunch and then suddenly there's like water all over the table because you're just coughing and hacking and went down the wrong pipe. I hate that. It's so embarrassing.
That's so bad, but funny. So funny.
I could tell if she wasn't sure if I was like pulling some sort of shtick or something. She was like, are you okay?
Yeah.
You're like, I wanted to get off the phone really bad. So
she's like, that's what people do to me. Oh no.
Exactly. It was so much like it could have been. I have no idea what she thought, but it could have either been like she really understood what was going on and like it made sense that something had happened, or she was like, "Oh my God, she's that bad. Like she's mocking me or something."
You're just like those neighbors.
Yeah, she's like you're turning against me too.
She's in cahoots. She got them their place too.
Like I'm trying to be like, not real. Like I'm joking.
Oh no.
Horrifying because it was like a really important call and she was a really important client to me and she was so vulnerable and I just like almost died.
But that, I mean, look, you didn't know that you were going to drink that sip of water and you had no control. And I hope she was understanding about it and maybe it made her, you know, forget the whole ordeal with her neighbors. And
doubt
just
it.
Focus on the future. Snapped her out of it. You coughed her out of it.
Exactly. The good news is, like, she works in the entertainment industry, and she was recently featured with her new place in a magazine, and it's super cute. So it all worked out.
Oh,
I didn't
good.
Die. Yeah.
Yay. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you
much. For having me.
That's an embarrassing
one. You guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, too.
Bye.
That is a good story.
Yeah, because that is one of, like, it's such a common thing that we all do. We all get you know, we all have a sip that goes down the wrong pipe, or we all have like that uncontrollable cough at a time when something gets stuck in your throat, or if you're getting a little sick or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, when that happens, like in those situations that are important, or like, you know, in a quiet area, like if that happens in a movie theater,
or a library, or
a library. Well, I mean, I'm never in a library anymore.
Oh, I'm like, me neither. I actually have a library.
Yeah, but, like but places where it's supposed to be quiet. Like,
I feel like that was probably a good thing that happened, because this girl's going on and on about her neighbors, right? And like how like bad it is. And then there's like a life-threatening like coughing situation, which is like, it just shows you like what's more important. You know what I mean? Like get over your neighbors. You know, you could be dead tomorrow because you choked on water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
she
the moral of the story.
She almost died.
She showed a mirror. She almost died listening to your story.
Yeah.
And you need to move on to more important things. You know what
Girl,
I mean?
Move on.
Girl. Bring those neighbors some cookies. Do what you can in this world.
Do you have one more for this episode?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. This is from Michael in Wisconsin. And he writes, I was raised in a very religious household. I still went to public school, but we didn't celebrate Halloween. We don't celebrate the devil, in parentheses, or Christmas, the way other households did. That sucks. You know what I mean? You have to like look out your window at the trick-or-treaters and you're like, Anyways, Santa didn't come to our house. We just had a modest dinner to commemorate Jesus's birth and, of course, church. So we went to church 4 to 5 times a week after school. When I was in fifth grade.
4 to 5 times a week?
Yeah. Time consuming, right? Too time consuming for me. I know. I was too busy playing like Nintendo. When I was in fifth grade, they sent a letter home saying we'd be given sex education at school that week. That letter. Just kidding. No, it's very serious stuff. The letter encouraged parents to keep their kids home if they wanted them to miss the discussion. Of course, my parents kept me home. I was kind of relieved for a minute because how awkward was that going to be to have my fifth grade teacher explain sexual intercourse to a bunch of embarrassed kids? However, my relief was brief because my parents decided to teach me themselves that week.
Oh, no. Let the school teach you.
No, let.
Yeah, should I have gone to
school? You do not want to hear it from your mom either. You want to hear it from your fifth grade teacher. Yeah. They wanted us to find out about intercourse from them. They made us watch a tape that our church had provided about sex education.
What?
It still had all the hits. Penis goes into the vagina and then a baby is made, etc. You get it. It's a Christian version of what sex is. And it was so awkward, especially since I'm gay.
Aww.
Of course. I'm sorry. I love that, though. I love that, like, I mean, how many people are, like, have to sit through that, whatever, the sexual intercourse discussion, and they're gay.
It's he's like that is not going to be my version of sex, but okay.
Nope.
But okay.
But let's get into it. Of course, I was closeted at that time, but sitting next to my mom and dad and my brother watching a video about sex of any kind was humiliating. When the tape, it was a VHS tape back then, was done, my parents turned to my brother and I and solemnly asked if we had any questions. Nope, we said, and we got to go play outside for an extra long time that day. It was, as my kids say now, so cringe.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's awkward.
Yeah. No one wants to hear about sex ed from your parents.
But especially if your parents aren't like, yeah, if well, you're yeah. raised like where they're more open and yeah, but
not
if you're
even
raised
then,
in
though.
This like really... Yeah,
I feel like no one wants their parents to tell them about sex because they don't want to imagine their parents having sex.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's all awkward.
Yeah, especially, and then like, what is that tape? Like, was it like a priest being like, okay, so here's some diagrams. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I want to see that tape.
Awkward? I do not.
I want to watch that tape. I do.
Yeah, there is a Instagram handle. I think it's like a whole thing called Found Footage.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like conventions every year where it's all, they just buy VHS tapes from garage sales and then they go and look at it and then they do like a montage of the best of.
Ooh, I love
so
that.
I wonder if that would be like something that they found. They could just like put it on there. I don't know. Yeah, it's crazy.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Well, that's our show. We hope you loved it. Please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page. It is listed in the show notes. And if you can't beat them, join them.
See you next week.